Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Last week, I spoke about topics in my book, you know, some of my personal experiences evolving into this type of work and working with my guides, meeting them, etc., and really just kind of giving you some, you know, some little stories about how I met my guides and, you know, and some of the fears that I had initially and, you know, how oblivious I was to this entire world at the start. So I am actually going to continue that conversation in a couple of weeks because a couple of viewers reached out to ask some questions that they were hoping to have addressed on this episode. So I'm doing my best this week to address the question of whether or not we are all intuitive and whether or not we all have psychic ability. So that's going to be the topic for today. And these are really great questions. And I'm saying that because this is a question that I asked the archangels. I asked this probably about 4 years ago because I was curious about it. You know, when you see people like the Long Island Medium and let's say Sylvia Brown, for example, you know, people who seem to be very, I don't know, catapulted into fame because of this type of work, it seems just like they've been, you know, handpicked to do this work. Like they're very, very special as opposed to the rest of us. So I was curious about whether or not this is, you know, deemed appropriate for everybody. Was everybody given this, you know, given some sort of psychic ability when they came to planet Earth? I asked the exact same questions and I think the answers might kind of surprise you. But first, let's talk about whether or not everyone is intuitive. So in terms of what intuition exactly is, and what I find funny, let me just say, is that people use psychics and intuitive, I guess you could say, interchangeably, which I understand why they do it because being an intuitive is kind of like the safe word when you want to represent yourself in the community or tell people that's the type of work that you do. Because as I even write in my book, I think psychic is such a freaking dirty word. Everyone just, you know, rolls their eyes just hearing it. Like there's no legitimacy attached to it. And I get it. But I don't know that I can put them in the same category only because when we think about what intuition actually is, it's really the ability to know something without being able to explain how we know it. We don't necessarily have tangible evidence to say how we know it, you know, show how we know it. It's more of a knowing, and I would say it's our gut feeling. It's an instinctive feeling that we have, right? We know something's going to happen just because we know it. We know that person's not a good person, and we know that they can't stand me just because we know it. Now, for me, your intuition is really your intuitive voice, right? It's your inner voice coming from your higher self. Everybody has intuition. Everybody has a spirit who is still connected to the all that is above us. And that voice, the messages that they give you are really objective messages. They're loving, they're aligned with truth, but it's really your higher self that's kind of giving you some insight into what's going on in your life. Let's say, for example, you're trying to decide whether or not to pick between two jobs. Well, that voice, if you can tap into it, if you're quiet enough to hear it, will kind of push you towards one job as opposed to the other. The same thing, let's say, I guess you're dating two guys. I don't know if this is a great example, but if you tap in to your inner voice, it's going to push you more towards the other, you know, one person as opposed to the next. So the issue with intuition is that how do you tap in to hear your inner voice? How do you begin to hear that higher self? Because it's complicated when you have an ego, which is the other part of you, and we all have one because it was necessary when we came here, because the ego helps you with survival, which you need, right? But how do you kind of quiet that egoic voice so that you can tap into the intuitive voice to get the answers? And that's the difficulty, right? Sometimes our ego screams so loudly that we think that's the truth. Okay, it's telling me, no, 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 do this. But usually it's coming from a place of fear, right? Because most of the, I would say the reason we choose certain things is because we want that sense of security. So we choose the safe thing, right? Because it's going to allow us X, Y, and Z. Perfect. I'll pick that person because they're stable. They have a great job. They can provide for a family. You know, they're consistent, etc. But, you know, your inner voice might be guiding you towards someone else, saying, well, you're kind of overlooking, you know, some things, and ask yourself why it is you're so focused on a sense of security, right? So the problem is you have to learn how to really quiet that endless mental chatter so that you can get to the heart, which is where your intuitive voice comes from. Now, I will give you a couple of exercises where I think can actually help you develop your intuition. If you feel like you don't have very strong gut feelings about situations or people, which I kind of say, I'm always telling my friend that, you know, I don't really have that type of clairsentience. I can feel spirits very well, very strongly in an energetic sense, but people, when I meet them, I don't know that my gut reacts in one way or another. I don't know that I have that as a source of my intuition, if you will, right? Because some of us respond that way, but some of us, like I said, when we meet someone, we know that we know that we know this is not going to be a good relationship. There's something very heavy around them that's kind of pushing us away. And again, that's kind of our intuition telling us without having to directly say it to our face, right? So one way that, so one little exercise you can do to begin to kind of hone those intuitive muscles, and these are fun exercises. And again, you have to really want to build your intuition and do this crap over and over and over again. And they are exercises. And just think, like anything else in life, you want to learn how to play the piano, well, you got to practice exercises every freaking day. This is really no different. It's the same thing. You have to work at it. Even if you have a natural, you know, strong intuition, you always want to make sure you can make it stronger, right? And keep it stable. So one thing that you can actually do, and I do have these exercises on my website for free, get, I would say probably, I don't know, 8 little small sheets of paper. And on each little piece of paper, I want you to write a word on there. So for example, on one of the small pieces of paper, you can write the word trust. The other one you can write have faith. The other one you can write patience. The other one you can write strength. And the other one, peace of mind, kindness, believe in yourself, etc. Whatever you want to choose, okay? And I want you to fold them up and I want you to put them in a bowl. So as with all intuitive work, you know, meditation is key. So, you know, throw them in a bowl and then I want you to sit down, get quiet, turn everything off, and just breathe in and out. I would say do about a good solid 10 inhalations, exhalations, and clear your energy. So you can also sage yourself before this. If you like the sage, it's fine. Now, I want you to put your hand in the bowl with your eyes closed and I want you to tap into your intuition. I want you to quiet your mind as much as possible, okay? As much as you can get it quiet and ask yourself, ask your intuition, you know, what message do I need to know the most? And I want you to try to hear it. It may come in as a feeling, a knowing, or you might actually hear your higher self tell you. Pick something first in your mind, okay? If you're struggling, it's okay. Don't worry about it. After you hear this message, if you do hear it, I want you to reach into the bowl and pick one of the little pieces of paper out, and I want you to look at it to see if it aligns with what you heard or felt. This is a very good exercise. It's something you can do every single day, and it doesn't really take that long. And this is one way of kind of honing your intuitive muscles. So another way, and I think this is really fun, get a bag of crystals or stones, and I would say get a good bag of like 15, 20 different ones, okay? Now, this is with the hope and assumption that you know which, you know, what they each stand for, or at least have a little crystal Bible to, you know, with you, with the crystals. So you're going to want to do the same thing. You're going to want to put them in a bowl. You're going to sage yourself to kind of clear your energy. You want to find a quiet place to sit. Make sure everything is turned off. You know, with all psychic and intuitive exercises, I really do recommend lighting white candles when you practice. There's something about, I don't know if it's the purification, but I remember my angel telling me that if you light a white candle, it actually draws in spirits of the white light. So I always try to make sure I have white candles lit in my house. And when I pray with the white candle. A couple of other side tips. So after you've cleared your energy, you're sitting down, you've done some breathing exercises in and out, a good solid 10 or 15 to get your energy calm. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen again to your higher self. And you can call in your higher self, okay? You can pretty much say, hey, I know you're there. Or you can say, hey, intuition, I know you're there, my spirit, please help me to pick a stone that is representative of what I need right now, what would really help me on my journey, something I need to focus on right now, something I need to heal. Now close your eyes. Try to hear a message from your higher self. They may or may, you know, your higher self may or may not say, okay, you're going to pick a pink stone. It could say that. I have no idea. It really depends on your own higher self. It could tell you heart chakra. It could tell you inner voice, expression, something to the effect that it would relate to the stone that you're going to pick. So after you've done that, and as a little side note, I should really say this because I feel like they're telling me make sure to say this. When you try to tap into your intuition, and I know I talked about this on the Higher Self episode, place your hand over your heart. As you're breathing in and out, and you're trying to listen, try to listen to the message coming from your heart, because whenever I do this exercise and I'm really like deeply in it, I can actually really hear my higher self in my heart. And I wish, you know, I did this every day. It's probably smarter if I did, but while you're doing either of these exercises, keep your hand on your heart and try to listen. And then when you're ready, I want you to put your hand in the bowl, pick one stone, and look at it to see if it matches with the message that you got. So for example, let's say, you know, you heard your higher self or intuitive voice tell you, I don't know, solar plexus. This is if you know your chakras, or self-esteem, confidence, strength. And let's say you picked up tiger's eye, total alignment. And again, this is such a great exercise to develop your intuition and begin to trust it, which is what we really need to do, because it's not that our higher self intuition isn't speaking to us. It's that sometimes we disregard the message as completely foolish because it doesn't sound logical, which is most of the time, right? It sounds without complete, you know, reason. But it's talking to us to try to get us on the right path, keep us on track, and to help us heal and come to understanding. So the question of the day, is intuition different from psychic ability? Yes. I say yes, because intuition, everybody has it. Everybody has an inner voice. Everybody has that spirit, which is your higher self that's guiding you from, you know, from above. I don't really say it's from the other side. It's really in you and of you. And it's coexisting, I guess you could say, in you, but it's really in alignment with all that is, which is God, all the time. It's always connected, because you are always, always, always connected, even though, my God, it really does not look like it when you're on this planet. If anything, this planet is a great representation of the expression of separation. And that's how I think that's been my experience, but that's also, I think, the experience of many people, because all we see is separation here with our eyes, our physical eyes. But in terms of psychic ability, I hate to use the word gifts. I hate to use the word gifts, but keep the word psychic ability. So as we all know, in terms of those abilities, let's define them really quick. The ability to hear spirit, the ability to feel, sense spirits, the ability to see spirits, whether it's with the naked eye or, you know, with clairvoyance, your third eye. And I would add to this category healing, the ability to heal people, and mediumship, the ability to talk to deceased loved ones on the other side. Does everybody have all this? Ah, I have to be honest with you guys. There was an evening about 4 years ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine and we were practicing channeling with each other because we were really deep in it. We had so many questions, which is what always happens with channeling when you first get started and the angels or the archangels or your guides present themselves and they're in alignment with the light. Let me stress that. It's like you want to know all the secrets of the universe. You want to know everything about everything. And this was something we wanted to know. Does everybody really have this? And oh my God, I got, you know what I was told? I'm going to tell you everything I was told. And I'm sure almost everybody's going to disagree with me. And that's totally fine too. I remember Archangel Jophiel. She stepped forward. I'll never forget this because for some reason, she's really cool. I mean, they're all really cool, but she is so easy to talk to. And she's very, I like to think she's very grounded. She's so helpful and calm. I dig her a lot. So she said that if everybody had abilities, a majority of them would use them for bad. Listen to that, because I was taken aback when I heard that. She said, so many people on this planet are greedy more than you think, that when people pray, they're usually praying for more money, more money, more money, and they already have more than enough. People have a tendency to gravitate more towards their darkness than towards their light. But it all stems from fear of lack and fear of insecurity. So there is more of an inclination for people to utilize, if everybody had it, to utilize their abilities for bad at the expense of other people, to manipulate and to trick other people. This came directly from Source. And again, that was not what I thought I was going to hear, because I was under the impression, I was strongly under the impression that of course everybody's got it. Nobody is better than anybody else. God wouldn't give something to one and not give it to the other. You know, and maybe I'm superiorly naive, which is, you know, I have been. But I remember so many times she kept saying greed, 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 greed. And like I said, I can be very naive because I have in my heart the belief that everybody is, you know, coming from a place of good, even though I know they're not. I'd like to believe it, I guess. So does everybody have it? Here's the other side of the story, okay? And I know I sound like a broken record, but prior to your incarnation, you do sit down with your angels and guides, and I don't know if it's a council, and you map out your blueprint before you get here. And in that blueprint, you also select whether or not these abilities, if you will, are going to be a part of your master plan. Are they a part of your destiny this lifetime? We don't always use them every lifetime. It's not necessary because sometimes there are other lessons that we really need to learn. There are other things we wish to contribute and focus on. So not everybody is meant to do this lifetime. They're just not. So I need to stress that there is a master blueprint. And the reason I want to talk about this is because if you're listening to this right now, for the most part, this type of work is part of your destiny. And I have to be honest about that because this is something my guide told me very clearly. He said, you know, you actually do have things that are part of your map, your blueprint, your map, if you will. So whether you get to this much later, whether it takes us 40 years to get you there, or, you know, you start from the beginning and you just use it all the way, it depends. It depends on your deviations. You know, certain things depend, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day because you are destined to do this type of work. So if you're listening to this, if you've been interested in, let's say, mediumship, if you've been interested in clairvoyant work, if you're interested in the healing ability, you know, healing arts, if you're interested in, I don't know, sound therapy, etc., that interest was planted in you because this is the type of work that you should be moving towards. I am not telling you to forsake everything else that you have, everything else that you love. Don't. I'm not saying quit your day job either, okay? My guide even told me that. He was like, don't quit your day job, please. You have to still be smart. There's a reason why you have the intellect. I'm like, okay. So, however, you are destined to do something with this type of work. So let's say right now you're in the questioning phase, that you've kind of had a mild interest and you've dabbled maybe here and there and you're not really sure. Well, yes, the interest again is a seed that's planted to grow eventually. It's your responsibility to kind of get it going. Your guides, it's like once you take the first step, your guides are going to push you off the freaking cliff. For real. I know that firsthand, because you're supposed to be moving into this direction. Not saying that this work is better than the work anybody else is doing on this planet. It is just a different contribution, one that you picked, a field that you desire to work in to help people on the planet in your specific way. So let's say that, let me actually move back, because this was something I actually discussed with my spirit guide the other day. And he told me, he said, okay, so when you're younger, in terms of your spiritual gifts, if you will, you're wide open. If this is your destiny, if this is your path, you're really open to spirit. And most likely it's going to scare the crap out of you for many years. if you're raised in a household that's very evangelical, if you're raised in a household that's totally against any of this stuff, then, you know, it's going to be, you're most likely going to close it down. Okay, you're going to feel guilt, feel bad, evil, etc., and you'll close it down. And usually, and my guide said, people begin to have a tendency to close it down in their teenage years because they're so focused on all this other stuff, boys, girls, dating, love, and school and activities, that they close the door. However, it's usually in the early 30s, late 20s, early 30s, when we begin to crack that door open again because, you know, we've had some life under our belt, some not so great experiences, and some of us have traumatic experiences, and we want answers. We want to know, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in my life? I didn't treat anybody bad. I didn't do anything wrong. Why did this accident occur? Why are these people, why did I lose everything? It's like we start to have those cycles of loss and pain. And that forces us, for the most part, to begin to seek. And when we seek, and if we're brave enough to seek outside of what we have been taught, that's when your guides, your angels, your spiritual team, let me put it like that, they're clapping. They're like, perfect opportunity. We're going to push him or her to get started. And that's usually where it kind of takes off, for the most part. But you are destined to do it. So if you've been avoiding it your whole life, spirit is going to find a way to get you into this type of work and into the right direction. The unfortunate thing is that if you've really been trying to avoid it, then spirit is really going to find an unpleasant way to get you there. So what looks like a tragic accident, what looks like pain and loss, is actually a new beginning, so that your what you came here can actually be done. And that's hard because, I mean, obviously loss is hard and devastation is hard. All of that stuff is like incredibly horrible. But if you're destined to go down this path, then boom, you're supposed to really do this. So are we all born, or excuse me, so then what I'm trying to say is that not everybody has psychic ability. You know, this lifetime, you may have had it in a previous lifetime. And maybe using those abilities did not serve you well. Therefore, in order to learn in a different way, you've opted to forego having, you know, psychic abilities this lifetime, which is fine. It doesn't mean, like, if you met someone who's super clairvoyant, it doesn't mean that they're more spiritually advanced. It doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden an enlightened master. Not at all. It doesn't mean that the lessons that they're learning are more profound than yours. Not true. Everybody has their own timing, their own lessons, and we all kind of know it's pretty difficult here, especially without the knowledge that we are spirits first and not our bodies, because we're so connected to, well, I'm not, but you know, most of us here are really connected to the earth plane, and we think this is it, and this is the source of our identity, but it is not. And I think that the reason a lot of I guess we can use the word light workers are beginning to wake up to their abilities is because I think that a majority, it's gotten so bad on this planet that a majority of people are just, they really believe that this is it. This is the truth of who we are. We're here, we work, we die, done deal, that there's nothing more. And also, you know, there's like Archangel Jophiel said, there's so much greed, control, power, and fear that we have to wake up because we need to help shift things along back to where it's supposed to be or to where it's supposed to be. So if you find right now, oh God, this conversation's not going the way I thought, but I think actually there's some stuff to really talk about here. If you find that all of a sudden something has shifted within you and you all of a sudden have a very strong interest in this type of work, it means it's time for you to wake up. It is your destiny. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And you need to wake up because as you see, things might not be going so great for a lot of people and they need guidance. They need to know. There's so much that we all are here to do. It's just that, again, it's not better than anybody else. But if you've been gravitating towards, let's say, mediumship, if you've been gravitating towards some sort of like Reiki, I think you need to step into it. But you need to ask, let's say right now your finances are not that great, which seems to be a common story with a lot of people. And you're like, well, that sounds great. You know, how do I even get started? I don't have the money for a Reiki class. I don't have money for herbal healing or whatever. Two things need to happen here. number one, God help me for using this word, manifestation. Yes, manifestation. I'm going to say it, and I will do an entire probably 20 episodes on manifestation. You need to begin to create in your mind the belief and in your heart the belief that the resources are available to you so that you can do it. Also, you need to call on assistance from above to help you, to help bring those resources to you. It's like a two-part deal, okay? Your job is to create it in your mind and to believe it. And that belief has to be freaking consistent because when you start to doubt, it slows crap down. It's like if you imagine, I don't know, an asteroid coming to Earth, right? To like make your dreams come true. Well, the asteroid's going to start slowing each time you begin to doubt. And we don't want that to happen, right? So if you feel called to step into any of this type of work, then you are supposed to be doing it. However, again, it's like this focus on fear and lack will kind of like push you back and make you think, okay, well, I don't have the money to do it, therefore it's just not possible. So, oh well, I guess this is just not for me. No, no, no. This is when you step up. This is when you take that leap of faith and say, okay, I'm going to see, number one, if this works. This is something my friend and I kind of do when we kind of dabble in all kinds of stuff and we tell each other, let's try this and see if this works. And we're going to believe it works for a while and see if it works. So it's your job to do that, to take that first step, believe it, and ask for help. We can't do everything on our own. And some of us don't have like a lot of people who will help us. So ask spirit to deliver the people, the means, the help, and you do the work. Okay, I'm kind of like probably going on the side here. Okay, so a viewer asked, do we all have psychic ability? My answer is not every lifetime. Not every lifetime. However, one thing I did kind of want to talk about was let's say that you're born here and you're born with clairvoyance, for example, and you've had it since you were a kid, kind of lost it a little bit, you know, teenage years, and then it's made a really strong, scary reappearance. Fantastic. Well, what about let's say you have the clairvoyance. Do you have clairaudience? Do you have clairsentience? Are we born with it all, or are we only born with one? So from my understanding, it's when this is in your blueprint, when this is your destiny, when you came into this earth, you have one that is super, super strong. So strong for you. It's almost undeniable. So again, if you're clairvoyant, when you were younger, you probably saw like orbs, spirits walking by, flashes on the corner, you know, at the corner of your eye. That's most likely your strongest. If you were younger and you heard spirits as a kid, your clairaudient. That's going to be your strongest one. If you, when you were younger, when people were sick around you and you went up to them and you put your hands on them just naturally, then boom, you're most likely a healer. If you could see, hear, or feel spirits who didn't belong, who were deceased, then you're a medium. If you just have the ability to sense and feel different energies, then most likely your strongest ability is going to be clairsentience. So you're born with that. Are we born with them all at once? You know, this is a complicated thing because I know people who have it all, like have it all. And I kind of feel like some of it is premature. It just needs to be developed. But I can be honest with you. I don't think that everybody's born with it all. I personally was only born with sound. And you know what? I was happy about that because my sister was born with sight and she would see spirits walking by. And I don't think I could have handled that. I mean, it was hard enough, you know, listening to them. But seeing them, no thank you. I definitely, as you guys all know, could not feel or sense spirits in any capacity. And I had no interest in the medical field. Let me just put that out there for healing. However, because I could hear spirits of all kinds, you know, of course, mediumship is in my blueprint. However, the one thing I can say, and this is something my friend and I talk about all the time, we have to do an episode together about this, is that as you get, as you practice more, let's say that you have been working on your clairvoyance for a year, two, three, four, and you've gotten really good, don't be surprised if something else begins to open for you. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden you start feeling stuff. And when I say that, like you start to feel energies and it's going to feel really weird. So don't be surprised if it's like, okay, spirit's like, okay, they got that down. It's time for a new door to open for them and we're going to guide them there. It's just they're not going to know it for what's happening to them for quite some time. So I think that as we grow with our gifts, we begin to develop other gifts. Now, you can intentionally work on your gifts, let's say if you're clairaudient and you want to be clairvoyant, you can work on developing that. Like spirit will help you get there. I don't know how strong it'll get, but spirit will definitely reach out to you and work with, like they'll send you a guide who will help guide you through, you know, all kinds of practices to develop your third eye. But I don't know that everybody has it all. So if you're, you know, if this is the type of work that you do, if you have psychic ability this lifetime, it doesn't mean that you're going to get it all. Not all psychics are healers in terms of, you know, doing Reiki, hands-on healing. You know, that might not be their thing. And not all psychics are mediums. So, you know, it's very case specific. It's whatever you decided this lifetime. But I do say, even if you are a bona fide clairvoyant, don't be surprised if like 5 or 6 years into your practice that something else opens for you unexpectedly, because you're meant to always grow. And that's the whole point of this work as well, is that it's expansion. Like everything else in life, every experience comes your way to help teach you to grow your soul. And that's why we're pretty much here. So I don't know. I say personally that no, not everybody has that ability this lifetime. It's not meant for everybody's highest good. It may not be the way that they just choose to contribute, which is okay, because it's not as if we're more superior than anybody else. It's just what you opted for to do this lifetime. So anyway, I hope that this conversation today has been helpful. And I'm sure you probably have even more questions, and I totally understand that. But I would encourage you to look into your own personal records with your guide to kind of assess, like, you know, if you are born with psychic ability, then why did you pick it? You know, I did ask my spirit guide at the beginning when I first met him. I was like, what was I thinking? I think he thinks I'm stupid sometimes, but I was like, dude, didn't you stop me? And that's a question I always have, like for my guides and angels. I was like, okay, when we were all on the other side looking at this, nobody shook their head. Nobody thought some of this stuff was not a good idea. I always question that. So I have kind of like a bone to pick, but to be perfectly honest, my guide has always told me, you willed this ability before you came here. You chose it and God honors it. God will honor it. If this comes from your heart, God will honor it. And that's what I wanted. So even though it can seem kind of scary at times, because there, you know, you take the good with the bad, there is, you know, it's a blessing. there's one more thing I actually did want to discuss, because I haven't had a conversation with anybody about this, but I've heard stories. So if you do have psychic ability this lifetime, is it hereditary? I think would be such great research that I really need to do. So I apologize. I didn't do, you know, the strong research ahead of time, but I wonder, does it pass down from family to family to family? Is that in the blueprint? Is it like a familial blueprint that everybody decided together? I feel in my heart that if one family member has it, like your mom or your dad or your grandma, there is a high likelihood that you will get it, that somebody in the family, like a descendant, will actually get the ability as well. I don't know if this is an agreement prior to coming that that's the way it's just going to work, but I do feel like in a kind of a way it's hereditary. Like in my family, I know that my father, he had ability, and his aunt who had ability, which is cool if you think about it, right? So yes, in a way it's kind of hereditary, but it manifested in a different way. Like my dad had the sight, my sister had the sight, I got the sound, you know? So it's just different the way it will materialize here. But in terms of it, is it necessary? I don't want to use the word necessary, but is this something that happens? I mean, yes, I see that it happens. And you hear stories about, oh, my grandma, you know, she taught me mediumship. Oh, you know, my mom had the ability to do this and that. So I hear all these stories. So I feel like if it's in your family, it probably will stay in your family for generations. And the other thing I should say here is that this newest generation is quite strong. I've read a lot of stories about kids who are remembering their past lives, like very, very aware. Not only of their past lives, they're very aware that they picked their parents specifically for many reasons, which is really cool, because I feel like some of this younger generation, is coming in because they're very, they're very, very, very quote unquote old souls whose abilities are very strong to make really strong changes on this planet, because it really needs a lot of light. So those are kind of like my two cents. But the one thing I should end this conversation with is that I remember my guide taunting me in a way about a couple things, because he was like, you know, the stronger you get, the more you practice, because the more you practice, the stronger your abilities become. He was like, when you have children, it's like your child is going to be that much stronger in their abilities, that you're going to have, what did he say? I know he said it jokingly, but I kind of rolled my eyes at it. He was like, you're going to have like a super psychic kid that will be even better than you. I did not want to hear that. Who wants to hear that? Especially it's like, they're just coming with it and I had to work my tail off for it. Of course, I don't want to hear that. But anyway, those are kind of like my last two cents. So yes, please, if you feel called, it really is your type of work. You will meet people in these circles that you practice with who will compete with you, which is silly. People who will tell you you're not good enough, people who will deny you. It's the same thing in everything in life, right? You find it manifested in all types of work. But know that if you're called, believe it and then go for it and don't let anything stop you. There will be, you know, confusion along the way and hits and misses, but it will all work out. So I really hope that this has been a helpful conversation today. And as I said, I'm hoping to have a good friend of mine who is an unbelievably amazing psychic, probably the best I have personally ever met, next week. I'm hoping she can meet with me. So we'll have a really great conversation about opening the doors to spirit. All right, everybody, take care and enjoy your weekend.